an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cook, you ate turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Get back to Eric DaCosta talking about things. But right now, let's hear from one of the players and a guy. You talk about, you know, Mike Green. Mm-hmm. Certainly Malachi Starks. But Tyler Loop might be under the biggest microscope of all the Ravens draft picks here in 2025. And Tyler Loop, after drafted out of Arizona by the Ravens, was asked about possibly being the guy that replaces a future Hall of Famer in Justin Tucker.
I think it's really exciting more than pressure, just because it gives you something to shoot for, right? We always want to be improving. We always want to be chasing perfection and learning how to adjust well and make kicks. And, you know, getting to fall in the footsteps of a guy like that who's been so elite and get to compete with him and maybe learn from him, like, that gets me fired up.
That was very well done by Mr. Tyler Loop. He said it perfectly, you know, because he didn't step on anybody's toes, like assuming that Tucker was gone or anything else. So, yeah, I mean, to me, he won that session there. I thought, I mean, if I was, you know, Eric, I thought handled it well.
Well, Eric DaCosta was asked about having Loop and Tucker possibly being on the same team at the same time.
Yeah, I think he's a really talented player, and I think that, you know, right now they're both on the roster, and, you know, it was a situation for us where we're just trying to find the best football players. So we're excited to see what he can do. I've actually never met, you know, Tyler. I'm looking forward to that. He'll be here next week, get a chance to see his leg. And that will help us address, you know, what our decision-making is going to be moving forward.
Yeah. We got two on the roster right now.
Yeah. And once I see him kick, we'll assess what our decision-making is going to be moving forward.
Well, the way it sounds is that Eric kind of handled the kicking situation like I used to with my special teams. You know, I don't know as much about it as you do. That's your expertise. And the only one I'm guessing, Bob, that saw him live is Randy Brown. And this is Randy Brown's pick. And why does Randy Brown get that? Because he's picked everybody else. And he's had success and have total confidence that he's picking, you know, another good kicker. He saw the qualities that he wanted to see in his kick. Because, you know, he worked him out. He did all those things. Saw him at the combine. The kid dominated at the combine. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing him on Sunday.
Now, he comes in possibly replacing a legendary guy. And with the allegations against Justin Tucker that we're all aware of and the investigation ongoing throughout the National Football League and beyond, you know, Tucker could be a Canton guy.
Yeah.
How, when everything's alleged, how that might affect that sort of thing. He's certainly going to be a Ring of Honor Raven.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's the last player left from the 2012 Super Bowl champs. But Brian Wacker, who we had on yesterday, and Kevin Allstriker today, and we'll obviously talk more Ravens guys and ladies later in the week, both saying that Tucker's probably not kicking for the Ravens anytime soon, if at all. The fact that they invested draft capital, fifth-round pick in a kicker, which they've never done before, means that, you know, they already know what their plan is. And I brought this up yesterday. I'm guessing the Ravens kind of are getting a feel from the NFL, the league, what Justin Tucker's fate will be in regards to possible suspensions and the like.
Yeah, I would think that'd be the thing that you're pushing the league on. And I'm sure that, you know, like the Ravens security personnel probably have a good relationship with the NFL's personnel people, you know, security people. They're probably all ex-cops anyhow. So they probably, you know, do you have anything? We got some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Because then, you know what? Then we know he's going to get suspended.
which we've kind of expected.
No doubt.
All along, based on their past history with others. Going back to Ben Roethlisberger when he was with Pittsburgh.
But with Ben, how many was it, Bob?
Two.
Here you got 16.
Right. And Watson.
Watson, I mean, there was, what, 20 something?
Yeah, pick the left side of the menu.
Yeah.
On that one. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's NFL Lunch tomorrow, or 2 days, sorry, May 1st. Deadline for picking up that fifth-year option, 22 draft class. First rounders, Trayvon Walker, yes, picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Number one pick, Aiden Hutchinson, yes, coming back from an injury, though.
Yep.
Derek Stingley's already signed a contract extension.
Yes, big one.
Sauce Gardner, picked up.
Yes.
Thibodeau with the Giants, picked up.
The second after they got Abdul Carter.
Ekwonu, Carolina, sixth pick, picked up. Evan Neal, seventh pick.
No way, he sucked. No. He's third team right now.
No, not picked up. It looks like Charles Cross picking up his option, ninth pick.
Yeah.
Out of, there was Seattle. Garrett Wilson, picked up, Jets. Chris Olave, New Orleans, picked up. Jameson Williams, even though he was subject of trade rumors, which apparently were unsubstantiated, that's been picked up. Jordan Davis, I'm guessing that's happening, right? Philly, got 2 days, unless they sign an extension or something.
Run player pretty much only. Do they want to, because he doesn't give you any pass rush stuff. I'll say they don't, Bob. I think it'd be cheaper if you don't.
Kyle Hamilton, we know we're going with that one. Let's see. Kenyon Green, drafted by the Texans, traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson on March 11th.
I say no, he doesn't.
Johan Dotson?
No.
Zion Johnson, Chargers offensive lineman, still waiting. And this came out today. It doesn't look like Treylon Burks will get his picked up, Tennessee.
No.
I mean, they got rid of A.J. Brown, basically, to get this dude. Not picking up are the Saints' Trevor Penning's fifth-year option. Offensive tackle. Mm. What do you think they're doing with Kenny Pickett in Cleveland?
Duh.
No, we just drafted two quarterbacks. Hello. Trent McDuffie is getting picked up in KC. Quay Walker, yes. Well, no, still undecided in Green Bay. Looks like he'll get a thing. Elam, drafted by Buffalo, traded to Dallas.
That was a bad draft pick.
Tyler Smith got picked up in Dallas. Linderbaum.
Yes.
Jermaine Johnson, who we like. But he's got his is yes. Devin Lloyd, Jacksonville, number 27. No announcements.
Disappointing. Yeah, inside backer.
Devontae Wyatt, Green Bay, still to be determined. Cole Strange, guard, New England. And Karloftis, 30. Yes, his was picked up. KC, Dax Hill, since he...
No. He's gone, isn't he? They put him at corner and... Yeah.
Let's see. Lewis Klein, drafted by the Vikings, but was released prior to the start of last season, making him ineligible for the fifth-year option. So there you go. So Ravens guys, they have two of them. Options picked up, if not an extension, maybe coming here. Or are we still waiting on that a little bit?
It doesn't sound like anything has been done with either. From listening to them talk, are either one of them in a hurry to get it done? No.
I think they both said that last week,
yeah,
right?
I think you know, both play and everything, and then they'll be the highest paid at their position, especially. If I'm Hamilton, you know, and I got another safety and I'm back to play in my spot, I'll wait.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, talk some baseball. American League East report, only one game in the division. It was in downtown Baltimore, won by the hometown nine. Revisit the highlights there and look at the standings and tonight's schedule. And then Vic Carucci, longtime NFL writer, NFL Network Radio, talk about Buffalo drafts. It's, you know, based in Buffalo and everything else that went on in a zany draft weekend of 2025.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Time for the American League East report here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Orioles last night beat the Yankees 4-3. Ryan O'Hearn three-run homer proved to be key there. Ramon Laureano had an RBI double. Tomo Sagana went five strong. Five hits, no runs, one walk, eight strikeouts. Got himself out of a couple of jams there. Felix Bautista looked very mountain-like in his closing out of said victory. The inning pitch, two Ks, dominant style as well. All right, Gregory Soto, a little shaky there. Then Ramon Urias, who's had a very good year, throwing error led to an unearned run. So he gets a pass, if you will. Orioles had a three-game losing streak with that win. Still struggling, let's be honest. 1-for-7 runners in scoring position, as we talked about throughout the course of the show, and with Danielle Allentuck a few minutes ago. So got to be better in that category. I'm stating the obvious there. A little more consistency, both on the mound, in the field, and especially at the bat, because the run production has been very spotty, to say the least. The Orioles last year averaged 5 runs a game. This year, 4. And what a difference a run makes when you're having a hard time keeping the other team from scoring runs. Gary Sanchez, he goes on the IL. Maverick Hanley is coming up to replace him. Jordan Westberg, he's been placed on the IL. Emmanuel Rivera was called up for that one. Kyle Gibson will make the start for the Orioles tonight. 8-8 last year with a 424 for the New York Yankees. Carlos Rodon, 3-3, 350, tough lefty. He is on the hill for New York. So the Orioles getting it done here, hopefully, against the Yankees tonight. With the win, they win the series. There you go. And then maybe go for the sweep. I mean, are we getting carried away with all of this positivity? Talking about what happened in one game? Let's see this thing extend just a little bit. Standings update, by the way, last night was the only game in the American League East. Tonight, Kansas City's at Tampa. The Rays have been playing really good baseball as of late. Lorenzen against Bradley. Got the Red Sox against the Blue Jays as Crochet takes on Francis, as Boston takes on a Toronto team that's been scuffling here, Nolan, as of late. Standings update, American League East. Yankees 17-12, game and a half up on the Boston Red Sox. Yankees plus 41 run differential. Boston coming in 16-14. Tampa's in third place, 2.5 out, winners of 5 in a row. We talked about Toronto. They've lost 7 of their last 10 games, 13-15 on the year. And then the Birds, 5.5 out after last night's win, still minus 38. In the run differential department, which is where you do not want to be in the red there. Detroit, 18-11. They're in first place in the Central, 2.5 up on the Guardians. In that one, Kansas City, they're 4 games off the pace. Minnesota's 5 back. And the White Sox, they're struggling too, 7-21 on the year. They're 10.5 out already. You have Seattle, game up on Houston in the West. The A's, game and a half back. Texas, 1.5 back. They've lost 3 in a row. And the Angels, they've lost 3 straight. But only 3.5 games separates first from last in a division that could be up for grabs throughout the course of this 2025 season. The Mets, they've been one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best, 20-9. They clobber the Nats yesterday. They're 4.5 games up on the Phillies. Braves are 6.5 back. Nationals, as we mentioned them, they're 7 back. And the Marlins falling off pace a little bit, 7.5 off the pace. In the NL Central, the Cubs, they're a game up on the Reds. Cincinnati's won 5 in a row, 7 of 10. Brewers, they're 3 out. You have the Cardinals, they're struggling. They're 5 out. And then the Pirates, they've been in perennial mediocrity for the last 10 years. They are 6 off the pace in a very, well, except for one team, maybe the best division in baseball. The National League West, the Giants, 19-10, tied with the Dodgers. Padres, 1.5 out. And then the Diamondbacks are 3.5 off the pace. The Padres, after that great start, they've lost 4 in a row. So that's your standings update here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. And as we've talked about, for the Orioles, just getting some consistent run production, going up against a tough lefty tonight. We broke down some of the individual stats. Mateo, 3-for-3 with a homer. So I'm guessing he'll be in that thing, minus Jordan Westberg for sure. But Ramon Laureano will get the call, perhaps, in one of the outfield spots. But Kyle Gibson, Nolan, what are your expectations for him? I know you said earlier in the show you'll take 5-3. That's 5 innings, 3 runs. You've had a couple hours to reflect on that one. Expectations, hopes, or is that a prediction?
Hopeful prediction. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a tough lineup to face in your first game back. The fact that he didn't have a real spring training obviously worked against him. I mean, when he first arrived, they said early May, and we're pretty much there. I mean, we're right at the end of April, but I thought that, that was ambitious at the time to say that he would be ready by this point. So the fact that he's here, it's probably rushed a little bit, especially after the Eflin stuff, but we'll see what he's got. I mean, at 37 years old, you are who you are. You know, and I think I'm pretty confident and comfortable in him, at least what his floor can be. And if he ends up doing what he did 2 years ago for the Orioles, which was eating a ton of innings, I think it was over 180 innings pitched that year. They'll take every bit of that right now.
It's funny because he wasn't really on the radar at all until they signed him to a minor league deal. And then it was like, well, when's Gibson coming back? Like right. He was Bob Gibson all of a sudden, but stabilize, eat innings. Again, that's all very touching. Where are the runs? And until they could start putting up crooked numbers and not rely on three-run homers, which are great, but when you have second and third, nobody out and nobody scores, that's more of the norm than the exception to the norm, and we'll see if they can get that one flowing against Carlos Rodon and a beleaguered Yankee bullpen. They get into the pen. All bets could be off for the Orioles. When we come back, Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio. The draft is done. He's based in Buffalo. The Bills made it to the AFC Championship game. Again. Lost to the Chiefs. Again. What have they done to upgrade themselves here in the offseason? As we've talked about on the show, I mean, Patrick Mahomes was kind of in this rarefied air as the top quarterback in the NFL. Has that gap closed? I mean, are Lamar and Josh Allen breathing down his neck for that honor? Has the gap closed between Kansas City and the Ravens? I mean, Cincinnati's given them the blues in the postseason before, but Kansas City, are they still the team to beat? I guess. We'll talk to Vic Carucci about that. And then a fun-ass trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Don't forget Baltimore baseball tonight. Me, Mike Bordick, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. We start at 5:30. Orioles go for a series win. Come by and enjoy it with us. From NFL Network Radio, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Vic Carucci. Vic, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, as always, here in Baltimore.
Yeah, my pleasure, gentlemen. Always great to be with you.
All right. I know just reading the story that Brandon Bean kind of went off on a sports talk radio show about criticisms of the draft. And, you know, I can understand why, as someone who does this for a living, we can be somewhat annoying. Was there an overreaction there, or was his defending himself a justified response to, you know how goofy this stuff could be here?
Look, I mean, any kind of criticism is going to get somebody a little heated, I would think, at times. But if you're in that business as a GM, you should, you know, expect that. Here's the thing. He hasn't gotten much of it because he's been the GM of a team that has consistently been in contention, not unlike what you're dealing with in Baltimore. So when there is a criticism, it feels like it's a nitpick. The way I see it, honestly, the issue was that they didn't pursue wide receiver more aggressively in the draft. It was a defensive-driven draft. They drafted a receiver like on the seventh round. The thought was receiver would be in the mix, along with corner, which they addressed, along with defensive tackle, which they addressed, defensive end, which they addressed. But where was receiver? And his comeback was, hey, look, the offense was scoring. We had, you know, through the postseason, the highest scoring team on average, 30 points averaging per game, even more so than the team that won the Super Bowl. So what's the deal here? And the way I see it, he's right, but both things can be true. You can have an offense that scored all those points and still be lacking the dynamic receiver, which they still lack. And one more thing, the most productive receiver they had was a guy named Mac Hollins, who they loved so much, they let him sign with the Patriots.
Hey, Vic, I enjoyed listening to you guys on Saturday. Now, Vic, did you like what Cleveland did by trading out of two and moving back and taking Graham?
I was a bit uneasy about that, frankly, because I just felt that, you know, Travis Hunter, to me, was as about a sure thing as you could get in this draft. And even Abdul Carter, as much as we talk about him as an outstanding player in this draft, the injury concern there, you could put on that as a little bit of an asterisk. But it's risky business when you're doing that. But how could you turn down the offer that Jacksonville makes and the asset that they gave up? They gave up a lot to move up a little bit. And a first rounder for next year in what is seen to be a good, you know, a better draft. So I guess that reflects well on the Browns. I thought they had a solid draft, but the fact that they just loaded up their quarterback room, you could scratch your head a bit on it, but it also tells me that, okay, there is going to be as genuine a competition as there could be, and perhaps Shedeur Sanders coming aboard in the fifth round as a flyer pick could end up being the starter, right? I mean, it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Vic, I just hope that Shedeur, you know, learned a little bit from this. He doesn't show up with a ton of jewelry on and stuff and just comes in, you know, hey, I'm just here to win a job.
Well, I would think it could be humbling to go through what he experienced, but I still say he was way underdrafted. I didn't see him as a first-round pick. I definitely thought second round was the right place for him in this quarterback class. The fact that he did fall, and if there were extenuating circumstances for that, I feel badly for him on that. But maybe the lesson of how you present yourself, and again, is that his fault, or is he just being true to who he is? And our teams, you know, did teams sort of overreact to that? But whatever the story is, he ends up being drafted. He sounded like he was happy to have landed somewhere as opposed to maybe going undrafted. Although, you know, part of me says when you're into the third day and you haven't been picked, picking your own team as an undrafted guy might be the best way to go. So is Cleveland really a place he wants to be? It is where he is now. His father had said that was one of the teams, as I recall, he didn't want to go to, but it's going to make for a fascinating story when, you know, you've got Dillon Gabriel and Sanders from this draft. You got Joe Flacco. You got Kenny Pickett. You got those four guys. I'm assuming Deshaun Watson isn't going to play another down for that team, but four guys in the mix. And of course, are there enough snaps in the offseason and preseason to figure out who the QB should be?
Well, speaking of QBs, who's going to be the quarterback in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, right. I don't even know what I'm going to call it. Now I'm going to do this very specifically. I'm going to call it the $10 million question because I heard, as you heard, as we all heard, guys, that Aaron Rodgers, you know, on the Pat McAfee show said 10 mil was a number he could play for. And that's if somebody isn't jumping on that for this iconic guy, who is also, you know, got his other issues, but if he's coming in at that modest a number for a quarterback, why isn't he signed? Now, he says he had other things going on, but the Steelers seem to be, the fact that they went through this, you know, draft pretty much not taken. Now look, I think Howard as a pick, I love Will Howard, but it's a six-round pick, and you love it more because I think there's high value there. I don't know that he's going to be ready to start, obviously, but is Mason Rudolph really an answer for a team that I think defensively and in most ways should be dealing with a win-now scenario? So if Rodgers has kept them on hold, and we're still in April, so I guess it's still early enough to hold back. But man, holding that team hostage, so to speak, just doesn't feel right to me. But what do I know? I'm just saying it doesn't feel right to me.
Now, Vic, you've been around the NFL for a long time. Is Justin Tucker ever going to kick again for the Ravens?
Yeah, well, I my ears, I don't know that necessarily gives me the insight on that, but it feels an experience. But that story just feels, you know, icky I don't know, man. I was as surprised as a lot of other people. It just underscores what we don't know about a situation. But I know, I guess it's, you know, the investigative investigatory part of that is still playing out, and I have no deeper knowledge on how that is going to go. But how can you feel even the least bit comfortable with that just coming up for a guy who not only, you know, is a great kicker, had a great story, and all I knew about him up to the point of those, you know, those allegations that, you know, he was he as good as it got. But, you know, we'll see, I guess.
Now, Vic, how do you what do you think about the Ravens selecting Mike Green then with what we, you know, we were just talking about with Justin Tucker?
Yeah, so again, let's the only word I can use is assume, and I'm always uncomfortable with assumption. But the fact that they made that pick of Green and on talent, it's a home run type pick, I think, as an edge rusher.
Yep.
Given them their you know, given what their defense, given what they need. Now, if they've done you know, the necessary research on it, but I mean, he fell enough into that late portion of the second round for a reason, and we know what that reason is. And if there is, if those off field issues aren't something that will haunt him and therefore compromise his availability, then this is one of those fantastic picks. I don't know. You know, the only time I can remember, and I know it's not an exact comparison, but we go back to the Dan Marino draft, that 83 quarterback, 83 draft, 1983 draft. I know I'm going back a long ways, but my point is, why was Marino still on the board near the very bottom of the first round for Miami to take? And, you know, the reasons as they lingered weren't, you know, as I understood it, really weren't justified. And we know the rest of the story is a Hall of Famer. I don't know that this is going to turn out the same way, but and the issues do seem to be of a serious nature that were at least being checked. Did they do a good enough job? Eric DaCosta, that whole personnel staff, security staff, you know what goes into that. Mm-hmm. As well as anyone, right? I mean, Vinny, that's but even at that, sometimes the best researching you do doesn't turn up everything you need. But if they've done it the right way, hopefully for the Ravens' sake, that they didn't, you know, grab a guy that isn't available.
Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio, has covered the NFL for many, many glorious years, and he's been kind enough to give us some of his time. It's too late in the process to drop this bomb on you, but think about this next time we talk. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now? Think about that, Vic Carucci. We'll talk about it next time.
I'll ponder it.
Yeah. I think the gap is kind of closed, if you know where we're coming from here.
Mm-hmm.
Vic, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
You guys. Thanks, Vic.
Vic Carucci, everybody. Is it fair to say it's a three-man race?
Yes.
Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar. Who's Burrow?
Yeah, Burrow. And then Jaden Daniels is like wanting to come to the party, and we'll see. After, you know, you got to stack them.
Yeah, we got to give Jalen Hurts a little respect here, you know. Reigning Super Bowls.
I mean, I don't see him like that.
We'll be back. Funhouse. He's our champion, Nolan McGraw. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about the draft. Walt Williams will be joining us. Talk about the NBA playoffs. Cleveland. Oh, my God. 55 points. You know, you even trying?
Cleveland-Boston. Who do you like in that, Bob?
That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough one right there. Defending champs. Championship pedigree. As great as Donovan Mitchell is, his teams usually flame out this round, going back to his days with Utah. But halftime of the Cleveland game, flipping during an Oriole commercial break, and Charles was like, I've never seen a team quit like Miami quit last night. And they were down like 44 to like 6 or something like that. It was an incredible display. Maybe Ernie Johnson said it's the worst basketball game he's ever seen. And from a playoff perspective, too. But anyway, we'll talk to the Wiz about that. Talk Orioles with Jim Hunter as the Birds. Hopefully tonight we'll win the series against the Yankees. And maybe tomorrow, dare I say, go for the sweep. Nolan, any closing thoughts before Inside Access comes quietly into the equation?
No, I put all my stock in Kyle Gibson. He's the savior. If this doesn't work out, nothing will.
Is he Under Armour stock?
Will Morton,
or my weed stock, which I think is now negative 6 cents or something.
Will Morton be in to relieve him?
What do the tariffs have to do with Kyle Gibson? That's my question.
I don't know, but if Trump's doing them, they're the best tariffs in the history of tariffs.
You're right.
Speaking of, did you see him?
Trump wants the tush-push, in.
I'm sure he had some opinions on that.
Yeah.
But saying that I told the Giants that don't get rid of Saquon, and then the Giants came out and said, you never said that to us.
He said that?
Yeah, well, the Eagles were at the White House yesterday. Yeah.
So and I think he's taking a victory lap for Shador getting drafted, too. Because he tweeted out, like, how does this guy not get drafted? He's, winning pedigree, et cetera, et cetera.
How about Barkley was down playing golf in Florida with him, and they flew together up to D.C.?
And not to get too far off topic, I did not know, because Barkley was on the Howard Stern show after they won the Super Bowl. Boxing fans, he's Iran Barkley's nephew. Iran the Blade Barkley. Former multiple-time world boxing champion. So, nice. I did not know that.
Talented family.
Yes, Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, start with a draft evaluation here from Chris. Says, I feel very satisfied with the Ravens draft picks for what they are now. Looks like they nabbed two starting quality defenders with their first two picks while building up the secondary and the offensive line depth. Plus, their track record of identifying good quality kickers has me encouraged there. For now, I think we should be happy with the results.
I'd agree with that. That's pretty good analysis right there. Because I think Starks and, like we've talked, Starks and Green are going to be immediate impacts, and the kicker may have to be an immediate impact. And the O linemen, they're going to hopefully provide some depth.
Speaking of Green, the drama that surrounded him and his fall to the second round, Texter here says, every team around the league littered with guys who don't know how to stay out of trouble. When it comes to Green, all he has to do is play well. All of this stuff will be ignored. Sports fans love to act all high and mighty, but if a player is producing, they turn a blind eye. Would have happened with Deshaun Watson if he actually won for the Browns.
I totally agree with that.
No, if he took them to a Super Bowl or a couple of championship games, they'd be building a statue of that dude.
No doubt.
Let's see. Some on the Orioles here. This one says, Hyde needs to go. All of these bad coaches, and yes, I do mean all of them. The Orioles hit a homer and won last night. Doubt they win any games this year unless they're hitting 2+ a night. Also, the great catch by Mullins to rob a homer saved them big time. They swing as hard as they can at every pitch. Their approach stinks, and it has since middle of 2023.
Maybe last year, sure. Because, the Orioles were the top offensive team in baseball going into the All-Star break of 2024. I don't know if it'd be prudent to fire the entire coaching staff, though.
Somebody has to lead them.
They'd be a little shorthanded tonight.
And Holliday did lay down a bunt.
And by the way, the Mullins catch, it's all part of the 9 innings and 27 outs. Other teams do it, too.
Right. Yeah, it's like, they didn't play well except for this great play, this great play.
Well, how about the Detroit game? The guy steals a 3-run homer from Holliday in the first, the second or third
Riley
inning?
Riley Green. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He stole a couple of home runs. Laureano took him one, too.
And one last one here. Texter says, the Orioles start is not new to this team. It's bad, but not a lot worse than the second half of last year. After the All-Star break, as we know, they were 3 games under .500, a losing team. They've lost players since then, injury-free agency, so they are technically worse. That shouldn't be a surprise either. Player improvements, Gunner has to prove his value over the span of 5 years, not just 2. Same could be said for Adley.
Yeah, that's kind of what we've been saying. I mean, this is no longer a small sample size. It's a large sample size, and I believe my words verbatim were that this team is worse than the one that lost to the Royals in October, and that team had 2 losing months of their last 3 in 2024. So, yeah, it is a worse team than it was then, and the guys that are holdovers are not playing as well as they were last year. And Adley Rutschman's kind of playing the same as he was at this time. last year. But other than that, everything's great. Smitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're back tomorrow. BBT coming up at 5:30 here on The Fan, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, live from Pickles. If you're going to the game, stop by, say hi. Even if you're down there at a party, come on by. Don't come empty-handed. For Joe LaCroix will be there. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class is moving.